You are now listening to The Social Scene with your host, Jay-Z.
Today, the show is brought to you by TalkLessSayMore.com. Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Today, we're really excited to have such an inspiring guest back on the line, Angel Luis, who is a health strategist in New York City. Hi, Angel. How are you today?
Hey, Jackie. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. We love having you back and getting inspired about all different ways to take care of ourselves. So now with the new year upon us, everybody's all about these new diet things and the best way to lose weight. And I really admire your approach to learn all the behind the scenes stuff of what's best for you before you take that next step, right?
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of people getting better informed and before they dive into any particular diet or lifestyle.
Right, exactly. So that's what I really admired, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to do Weight Watchers. I'm just going to do, you know, whatever nutrition program workout works for them. But you take the time out to focus on the current stresses and things that are affecting day-to-day lives of your clients, which is great.
One of the biggest trends of 2015, and that was mindfulness. And when people think of mindfulness, I think they think of Buddhism. They think of meditation. They think of quiet contemplation. But mindfulness just really means to be present. And so with that in mind, with everything that I've learned from all the people I've read and listened to over the years regarding mindfulness, they emphasize on trying to direct our attention into whatever task we're doing at any moment in time, right? So being present, being in the moment, being in the now. And the more often we can do that, we're more likely to manifest our intention. With that being said, you know, one of the things that happens around this time of year is people have a lot of expectation. They have a lot of intention for the new year. And they start considering making all these sorts of changes, particularly to their diet and lifestyle, to improve their health. So what I really try to emphasize and, you know, tell people is just to be more mindful about everything that's going on in and around your life before you decide to take on any one of these sort of diets or any sort of change to your lifestyle. Because part of the reason why most people will fail or not attain the goal that they had set for themselves is because most of them aren't sustainable. They're not considering everything that not only is going on in their life at this moment in time, but everything that they hope to achieve or accomplish in the new year. So a lot of people are taking on new responsibilities, liabilities, or tasks, right? And so you're piling more on, but you're considering also this change that oftentimes, or more often than not, is going to consist of, you know, spending more time exercising and or, you know, depriving yourself of food. So that's kind of going to be a tricky thing to do, considering you're going to need all this energy to do all these things that you hope to get done in the new year, but you're also going to be depriving yourself of food and doing this new form of stress in your life called exercise that's going to take a lot of energy.
Right. So you're basically saying a lot of people really think about the short-term benefits and never the long-term benefits.
Well, I mean, yeah, ultimately you have an idea of what it is you'd like to achieve. And first, like I say, is always prioritize. So is the goal? I mean, a resolution is what? It's finding a way to resolve a problem, right?
Right.
So you
right.
have to first identify what is the problem. What is it that I'm trying to fix? And that is going to be whether I need to lose weight, or I want to be able to get more restful sleep this year. I want to move more. I want to exercise more. Or maybe you're having some kind of health problem that you've recently been diagnosed with or told to pay closer attention to, which might be a low thyroid or high cholesterol or high blood pressure or any one of these things. And you want to kind of get a hold of this and not have to rely on prescription medication, but start making some lifestyle changes. So, again, you have to get better informed and take stock of things, like what is it that's going on in your life and how now you could start making changes that you're more likely to be able to do and not set yourself up for failure. I noticed that a lot of people start a program that they've once done before, right? They've always had quote unquote success, and so I always ask, well, why is it that if you had some success on that program, and you're considering doing it again, what was it that for what reason did you stop doing the program, or why is it that let's suppose it's weight loss and they lost, 10, 12, 15 pounds or so, and they regained that weight and they want to go back on that program because they, again, had quote unquote success. I'm like, well, what is it that happened? Well, they tend to blame themselves for not being consistent with the program, or, life got in the way, different forms of stress, new forms of stress they were starting to experience, and they couldn't focus as much on the program or the lifestyle that, they were experimenting with. And so, I tell people, you have to consider why it is that wasn't sustainable. Or what is it for you that it didn't work out last time? You weren't able to do it for a long period of time. And not only did you not be able to do it for as long as you'd hoped, but all the work, all the time and energy you put into the program, it seems as if, you have gained all this weight back. So would you have considered that something to have been successful when now you're kind of in the same place? And we right. all know somebody who's lost 8 pounds, gained 12.
Just out of curiosity, what's your theory that people stay with what they know? Is it comfort? Like, why wouldn't they want to try a new way to help take care of their health?
Yeah, because it's familiar. They know what they needed to do to have that result. So they will typically go back to what it is they are most familiar with.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that a lot of people, and again, we're focusing a lot on weight loss because that's sort of the thing that people will focus on most. And, one of my favorite people in the field that I have followed for many years is a woman named Diane Schwartzbein. And she wrote a book called Schwartzbein Principles many years ago, and she's written several since. And what I love about Diane is that she's an endocrinologist out in Southern California, but she had, intended to be a nutritionist and study nutrition before she decided to go to medical school. She was just kind of amazed at how little people really in school, knew about nutrition. One of the things that she says all the time, and I probably offered that book to people almost every single client I've ever had, and I mentioned, is that she always says, you don't lose weight to be healthy. You have to be healthy to lose weight. And so if
true.
That's your goal, if your goal is to change your body composition, to lose 10, 12, 15, 20 pounds, whatever it might be, that's making you uncomfortable. Because the truth of the matter is that most people who come to me, yes, they have an interest in weight loss, but the weight gain was very disproportionate, which right away is a red flag for me. I know something hormonally is going on, some sort of stress that's being caused for this person to gain weight only around their belly or their hips or their backside, or for men, their pecs. So I know that something else is going on. There's something that we have to go in a little deeper before we start talking about food and restricting calories and all that sort of thing. So you really got to get a grasp on what's going on with your health. And that's going to be collaborative, right? That's going to be using your MD, your own thoughts and ideas and intuition. Being, I emphasize this a lot with my clients. It's like, your body's going to give you cues and clues, so pay attention. And so that when you do have a conversation with either a nutritionist or a personal trainer or your doctor, you're able to have a better conversation and keep them more informed on what's going on with you, what you're experiencing. Because I can assure you that if you start considering some kind of diet now that's going to restrict calories or a particular macronutrient, so less carbs, less fat, less sugar, less salt, you are very likely going to start craving more sugar, more fat, more salt, more fat. It's just a matter of time. And anybody who's ever lost any significant amount of weight will tell you that's exactly what happened, especially when they were faced with some new stress, divorce, death, deaths, whatever it might be. And we're not even talking about stress as much today, and we have in the past, and maybe we will again, where I kind of like my focus is on how it is that every single time you're faced with some sort of new, real, or perceived threat, what is going on biologically, and why it is that your body is not in some way deceiving you. It's at those cravings and urges that you have for those foods that you've been depriving yourself of are real. So a lot of people who have intend to lose, you know, 10, 12, 15, 20 pounds, the truth of the matter is they probably don't need to lose that much weight to improve their health. They're wanting to lose that weight to improve their personal appearance. And that's a completely different set of goals.
Right. There are people, that's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
That's just a completely, and unfortunately, social media has really driven that. I've been in this field 20 years. I've been training people 20 years. I've met loads and loads of people who do bodybuilding back in the days, and today it's more physique competitions for both men and women. And so, and there's a lot of personalities now on social media that do that sort of thing. And, you know, and people are constantly posting pictures and or people are, you know, using these pictures as a way to set a goal for themselves, but it's really not only not practical, or it's just you really need to understand all that it takes for somebody to reach that sort of level of fitness and low body fat. It's just not really it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with health. Trust me when I tell you that those folks in the field know that as well. Some of them are able to maintain that sort of look and physique, but there's a lot of consequences that come with trying to manipulate your body composition that way so radically.
Regarding like movement and stuff, because you know we were talking, you were briefly discussing before, you know, things that you recommend to help your body stay healthy: more sleep, more movement.
Yeah.
What kind of movement do you recommend? Because some people consider that, you know, high cardio, which is just running. They run like 4 or 5 days a week, which some people just physically cannot do, you know? So what do you recommend to like the standard client of how many times they should work out a week? And, you know, depending on what that is, what is your standard procedure of recommendations?
All right, that's a really good question. And before I even talk about exercise with people, again, I'm trying to find out what the stress load is right now at this moment in time for them. And meaning if, for instance, if someone is not getting enough sleep, right? So they're not getting enough restful sleep. They may have small children at home. They work long hours, whatever it might be. I need to understand and know how much before I introduce a new form of stress. Exercise, especially quote unquote, meaning organized, where you organize this time around moving for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes is a new form of stress. You need to have the energy to be able to do that.
Right.
So first and foremost, I have to make sure that this person is first getting enough restful sleep and enough calories so that he can now go and start moving. So with that being said, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be moving, right? You should find ways to move in the day. And now we have all these little devices that will help you to track how much you move. I'm not a huge fan because I think people get obsessed with the numbers, but I think it's a good idea if you're trying to get started and see, you know, how many steps or how much I've moved today. And then over a week's time, over 2 weeks, over a month, you can see how much movement there is in a day. And there'll be days when you don't move as much. And so you realize, okay, I want to try and move a little bit more today because I didn't yesterday. And that just means deliberately, I mean, again, this is all conditioning. This is about building rituals. Immediately, if you work in an office building in a high rise in New York, everybody just goes, you know, it's kind of their condition to walk right over to the elevator.
Absolutely.
Instead of taking the stairs. My biggest pet peeve, if you really want to light me up, is watching able-bodied young people stand on an escalator. It drives me crazy. It is meant to, you know, move the flow of traffic. So there's just so many people, right? New York City is so dense. There's millions of people on this tiny island. And they're standing. And they have the capacity to move. That makes me crazy. Sometimes they're unavoidable. You have to get on an escalator. I use them. But I never stand on them.
Right.
And just glide up the stairs. So, I mean, there's opportunities all day to move. But one of the things that I've been doing a lot more with clients who have an interest in moving and exercising is we do a lot of awareness movement, really a lot of movement where they're just using their body weight. If there's if you're already a yogi or already doing Pilates or already spinning, and that's kind of your go-to once or twice, maybe three times a week, find another form of movement. It could just be going to a dance class. Right now, there's a lot of different, I would say, a movement. People moving in a way where they're just using their bodies, right? So there's animal flow and gymnastic bodies and all these different groups now and classes that are offering classes in and around New York City and all over the country, for that matter, on just learning to move again the way we were meant to move. A lot of developmental movement is integrated into these programs. And it's a lot of fun, and it's different from what you're already doing. It doesn't mean you don't have to you have to stop doing what it is you're doing, whether it's, again, Pilates or spinning or whatever it might be. But certainly integrating this makes it a lot more fun, interesting, more dynamic. It keeps you more engaged.
Right. You're also moving different body parts, right? Like, is that kind of how that is as you switch up your routine?
I mean, anytime, if you or anyone you know has ever just done something they're not accustomed to doing, so they went dancing all night, and the next day they were, like, so sore.
Right.
Or they spend a day out, you know, it was a beautiful day, they spend a day out with kids. In the same way, you might see someone who exercises all the time, and while moving a piece of furniture, they end up on their flat on their back and not being able to exercise for a week, right?
Right.
And that happens as well. And that's just because, right, again, it's like, wait a minute, you exercise all the time, and you were moving a chair across the room, and now you're, like, you know, incapacitated. Again, a lot of that is because we're just so accustomed to moving in one way.
That's so interesting. I really like that take because, I mean, I'm sure as a health strategist, you also recommend to kind of do that with food, to not always eat the same stuff, right?
Again, so much of it has to do with what's going on in and around your environment. So there's probably a lot of people here in the Northeast listening to this. And so now we're faced with a new stress at this time of the year, right? And that's, you know, the weather.
Right.
And the temperature. And it's been really volatile, right? Some mornings it could be as warm as 40, 45 degrees. Others, you know, could drop down as far as 20 degrees. And so, again, I've used this example before, I think, when you and I last spoke, but it's probably the best way for people to get a grasp of this. And that is that if, you know, I look out and know that it's 40 plus degrees outside, well, then I'm going to, you know, probably, or rather, if it's really cold that morning and it's 20 degrees out, well, I'm going to layer, right? And it might even be raining or snowing that day, or they anticipate rain or snow, so I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to stay warm and dry. And that's going to help me to cope with that sort of stress better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I wake up and it's 40 degrees, 45 degrees, well, then I'm going to probably strip some of the layers. They don't anticipate any rain, so I don't need to worry about staying dry, and I'll be able to cope with that. And that's really what life is like.
If you're deliberately trying
to just eat the same foods, the same amounts, prepared the same way every single day, not knowing what sort of stress or adversity you're going to be facing that day, you're not very likely to be able to cope with it very well. Some days you'll need more, some days you'll need less, because you're going to be faced with more or less. So it's really finding that place of, you know, how many calories and, you know, what types and amounts of food you should be eating on a daily basis. That takes time. And, you know, I spent months helping people heal their metabolism because they spent years doing a lot of damage.
Right. That they don't even realize, right? It's like damage they don't even realize they do, pretty much.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, I also remind people, like, look, you didn't do this deliberately. You were following, you know, some of the trends, and you listened to people that you liked and trust. And, you know, so now, you know, years later, you've kind of done this damage, but it doesn't mean it can't be fixed. It just takes time to do. And I think that's the one thing that a lot people have, you know, a tough time with. It's that it's going to take we're not really sure how long it ever takes. It could take 6 months. It could take 8 months. It could take a year. Again, it really depends on how much damage has been done. And also what it is you're being faced with right now. What are you coping with right now? So if, you know, you also have things in your life that are happening to you, and you're also trying to improve your health, you still got to kind of be able to bridge those things and be able to meet all those tasks you have to do every day and cope with all that's going on, whether you have two small children at home, you're going through a divorce, you've got a new job with more responsibilities, whatever it is, you have to be very flexible. You have to be very flexible, very open-minded, and experiment a lot. And you find that place where you find comfort and you find you're energized. And there's so many things that we look for, right? Warm, you're able to maintain the warmth in your hands and feet throughout the day, and your energy level, you're moving your bowels every day, you're having a regular menstrual. All these things are just kind of normal things that should be experiencing from one day to another or one month to another. And if it's not happening, then those are cues, those are clues, right? There's some kind of dysfunction. Maybe what I'm doing isn't serving me right now.
Right. Now, for our listeners right now, what is your day-to-day like with a client, you know, for potential people that would be interested in, you know, discussing options with you? So if I'm a new client and I walk in, you obviously do a consultation, so you break down their day-to-day like you've been discussing throughout the podcast. Like, what are their current stresses?
Yes. I mean, it really depends on where somebody is, what their interest is, what their needs are, and what kind of investment they want to make, right?
Right.
So I always prefer to work for people for several, a minimum of about 90 days, but make a 3-month commitment, because that I have found is where people will start to be able to now, the first 30 days is just about really making the adjustments and getting familiar with what it is we're trying to do and educate them, right? To get a better sense of how things work. And then in the next month, we start integrating more of the ideas and doing things more routinely. And then the third month, we start to monitor and experiment that much more, so we can say, okay, this is not working as well as we'd hoped, so we're going to add more of this.
Right.
And I think, you know, that might be one sort of client. Some people, you know, come to me because they want to move. They want to, I do a lot of postural work and movement work. So people come in and they're interested in exercise. But, you know, they had some kind of trauma to a knee or shoulder. They've always kind of had this back thing that acts up from time to time. So I kind of do a full assessment of why that might be. And then we start, again, the same approach. It's really just trying to find what's going to work best for them at this moment in time. I have guys who were athletes all their lives and played Division I, Division II ball and, you know, consider themselves athletic. But, you know, that was 10, 12, 15 years ago. They've been sitting at a desk about the last 9 and just started a family. So you're in a different place in your life.
Right.
You have to be reasonable with how you move and how well you can move and what you can tolerate now in your life without, you know, making it a stressful situation and making it something that's going to actually help you to, you know, feel better and move better.
Very true. Now, what's one of the most common stresses that you're finding that's pretty consistent with your clients?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, on the physical side, I would say pain.
Uh-huh.
Is one. Everybody is in some sort of pain, and they kind of learn to tolerate the pain or use some kind of over-the-counter prescription medication to help them cope with the pain. So whether it be back or knee or shoulder or headaches or TMJ or severe menstrual, you know, these are forms of stress.
Right.
And this is going to affect stress hormone production, and it's going to cause a lot of it could lead to all sorts of health problems. And I think the other, you know, being in New York City, again, people come here and, you know, because they're typically very competitive and very ambitious people. And so whether you're in fashion or fitness or food or finance, you come here because, you know, you hope to succeed. And there's a lot of, I think, expectation. So people put a lot of pressure on themselves to succeed and have a lot of responsibilities and liabilities. And one thing I think New Yorkers do a whole lot of, too, is they pile things on. If there's one thing that I kind of ask some of my clients to do is, like, what is it that you can what's one thing that maybe you could do less of? You know, it's always the interesting thing is that each year I think people want to do more, right? They want to, you know, as they start to think of resolutions or things that they want to be able to accomplish in the new year, it's always more of this and spend more time with my kids and, you know, make more time to get to the gym. And so it's more and more and more. And then when it comes to their health or trying to improve their health, it's always less of this, less food and less carbs and less sugar and less. So I'm like, okay, so you're piling all this stuff on and you're expecting it to do it on a lot less.
Right.
And that's a kind of a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. So, well, especially because, like, your mentality is just not there either, right?
Well, because, again, you know, if I were to say what are some of the main stresses is that, you know, is people just keep piling things on. They're, you know, also there's the demand or what's expected of them at work. So there's just kind of the psychological stresses of everyday life. Professionally and personally, but what I always emphasize is what makes it worse, what takes you from being sad or melancholy to depressed or feeling super anxious is depriving, causing more stress, deliberate stress, meaning deliberate sleep deprivation, deliberate food deprivation, excessive exercise, right? So all these things biologically will just make things worse.
Right.
So we all have stress. We all need to learn how to cope with stress. We need stress to thrive and to become more resilient people. That's not something, stress is unavoidable, but it's the stuff that we're doing that we've been told that will make us quote unquote healthier or help us to lose weight that is actually making it a lot worse because we can, a lot of the times you're more likely to be able to cope with some of these things if you were nourished enough. I don't know who I heard recently say this, and it was just kind of just really resonated with me in that you certainly are not going to be able to cope with all that stuff if you are malnourished. And that's just the truth of the matter. I mean, if you're a living, breathing organism that needs food and water and light and love and all these things to thrive, well, if you're not getting enough nourishment and the vitamins and minerals and all the things that we need to be healthy, then you're less likely to be able to cope every time you're faced with a new stress.
So true. That's really interesting philosophy. It's so true. Well, that was very inspiring, Angel. I'm so happy we had you on today. So tell us, by the way, so for our new audience members, you do speak with clients outside of New York, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've done consultations by phone and whenever we need any sort of testing done, whether it be, you know, urine, hair, saliva, whatever we might use, all that could be done by mail. And we usually do Skype sessions and that sort of thing. So I'll coach people that way. And then folks in and around the area, I see typically face-to-face and or by phone. And, of course, people come to see me for movement work and training as well.
That's awesome. So tell our audience members how they can follow you on social media and, of course, your website.
Well, okay, so Angel Luis, L-U-I-S, angelluis.com. And on Facebook, my personal page has my full name, which is Angel Luis Gonzalez. And then I have Angel Luis Health Strategist. Same thing, you know, you'll find me on mostly Instagram and Facebook and, you know, sharing stuff there that hopefully will help inform more people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Angel. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Wow, I can't believe that it's over.
I know.
That was quick.
It always goes by so
right,
fast.
Jack.
There's so much to talk about. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for tuning into The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Be sure to check out Angel Luis for all the latest health tips and definitely reach out to him for a consultation. And thanks again, listeners, for always tuning into The Social Scene. Stay tuned until next time. Next on The Social Scene, we have an inspiring guest from New Jersey, Adriana Miucci, who is an animal advocate, rescue volunteer, and freelance writer. She's going to inform us all about domestic violence and how to prevent it with animals, so stay tuned to get inspired. Today, the show is brought to you by Be Who You Are magazine.
Hashtag Get Seen on The Social Scene with Jay-Z today. Contact us at www.jayzsocialenterprises.com.